Father for that. And I'm glad we find in him one who gives life. Amen. The first Adam, the Bible said he was made a living soul. But the last Adam, he has been made a quickening spirit. And so one was given life and one is the life giver. I'm glad I know the life giver today. Mark chapter number 1. And we come to this next section as we just go in verse by verse. So won't you stand with me and we'll begin reading in verse 21. Mark 1, verse 21, and we'll read down through verse number 28. A very, very powerful portion and event in the life of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, and they went into Capernaum. Straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves. Ain't that interesting? They were astonished in the beginning of this service and now they're amazed in the end of it. Amen. That's how church ought to be. It ought to amaze us from beginning to end. And the Bible said they were all amazing so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning, this Lord's Day, we are thankful for the goodness of our God. We're thankful today for your mercy and your grace. We're thankful for the opportunity you've afforded each of us to be in the house of the Lord. We don't take that lightly. Lord, we're not here, Lord, today just to be religious. We're here today to meet with you and to hear from your word and, Lord, to get a challenge and to be changed in our life. I pray this morning, now as we take this text and use it, Lord, as you've laid upon our heart to magnify the Lord Jesus one more time, that you would enable us, Lord, to be able to do what you've called us to do and placed on our heart to do. We confess we can't do it in and of ourselves. We've not enough power in the flesh. We've not enough personality. Lord, we don't know how to work emotions. Lord, all we know how to do is stand. And Lord, trust that you'll use us and bless us, Lord, today. Lord, with the touch of God, Lord, I pray that your word would be life. And pray today that Jesus would be magnified and seen, and that in doing so, every eye would see him and be drawn, Lord, to him, whatever the need may be. Most of all, we pray for sinners today in this place, Lord, that are bound by sin and bound by unclean spirits and are bound by the God of this world. Lord, their eyes have been blinded. Lord, I pray the light would shine, the shackles would fall off, that today they would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, for all that you do for sinner and saint alike, again, we'll thank you and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We understand as we've made our way to this portion of Scripture thus far, the Lord's earthly ministry is now getting ready to take off. It's getting ready to be in full swing. He's been baptized. He's faced the devil in the wilderness, being tempted of him and overcoming him. He's begun to preach the gospel of the kingdom, crying out to all that will hear, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Last week we studied the call of these special men that are going to walk alongside of him and be with him where he is. They're going to engage in ministry. They're going to preach by his side. They're going to hear the lessons he has to teach. Their eyes are going to be up front and close witnesses as to what Jesus is going to do. It seems to me that when we come to verse number 21, and upon calling Andrew and Simon and James and John, that it's just a day or two that passes in which the Lord enters into the synagogue that is here in Capernaum. We understand what we've just read is given in much of the same detail by Luke in Luke 4:31 through verse number 37. This text is clear that this event takes place during a Sabbath day service in the synagogue of Capernaum. We don't worship in synagogues as being Gentiles, but we would draw your attention to the synagogue and what it is. The synagogues had been instituted after the destruction of Solomon's temple and originally were set up and had a setting or a backdrop in private homes of Jewish individuals. And eventually they began building separate facilities known as the synagogues that would be placed in different cities when there would be at least 12 Jewish men representing that form of religion, representing that culture. They would establish a synagogue. That synagogue was not for the purpose of sacrifice. That was to be done at the temple. The synagogue was a supplemental place. It served as the place of prayer, a place of law reading and instruction, and ultimately a place of worship under the religion of the Judaizers. And so this would have been a very special place to the Jewish communities throughout the land of Israel and even throughout the worldwide, wherever they may be dispersed from. Are dispersed too. We understand that prayer was important to them. Learning the law and hearing it read was something that was important to them. And ultimately being able to worship God with others who believe like them was a great part of their religious life. It is in this service in Mark 1 verse 21 through 28 that we find that the spirit underworld comes forth and declares that Jesus is the Holy One of God. And that's what we're interested in this morning. I believe all of this text can be surrounded and centered upon that very declaration of who Jesus is. Why Jesus entered in, he being a Jew, into the synagogue, he being interested, my friend, in the reading and the instruction of the law, for he himself was the Word made flesh to dwell among us. He had a special insight. He had a unique ability to be able to take the law of God and God's Word and administer that to those that would listen. And so he didn't come that day to be a hearer of it. He came to be a teacher of it and to declare what he himself had penned down. And so in the midst of all the praying, in the midst of all the law giving, the law reading, the instruction and the worship, we find the spirit underworld begins to speak forth through a certain man that was in attendance on that day. And the declaration is clear and the declaration is plain. A declaration is made boldly and in black and white. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And what a declaration could be made. Consider the Holy One simply means or directly means sacred in the sense of morally blameless and consecrated. And surely that description of the Holy One, that definition accurately describes the Son of God, our Savior. For my friend, he is blameless. He is separate from sinners in that he came and lived among us, but in living among us, he was identified with us, yet being without sin. We understand this phrase and this title and name and declaration given by the unclean spirit to the Son of God, the Holy One of God, means pure and clean and deserving of respect and reverence. I find in my ministry constantly calling men and women and families in the church to give the Lord the reverence that he deserves. Preacher, why do we do that? Because he is the Holy One of God. Amen. He is the only one. Amen. Ultimately, at the end of the day, that bears that title. amen, worthily and should be reverenced as the Holy One of God. A matter in the phrase in the declaration, Holy One of God means upright and perfect. Amen. And may we say the Lord Jesus Christ is perfect in every way. Amen. Pilate said in the end of his life, I find no fault in him. A devil at the end of the 40 days of fasting and the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Amen. If he'd have been honest, he'd have had to say, amen, I did everything I could, but I find no fault in him. And so he is the Holy One of God. It's phrased the Holy One of God. It speaks in terms of being blameless in life. But it goes beyond being blameless just in the manner in which one lives. And the phrase and the declaration, the Holy One of God, amen, speaks of one being blameless, one being perfect in heart. Amen. You see, Jesus was not just perfect when eyes were upon him. He was not just the Holy One when, amen, he was under observation. Amen. You put him under a microscope of men's watchful eye. Amen. And yes, his life would be blameless and would be holy. My friend, the one who sees beyond and sees in ways and sees deeper, and that men see, that being on the outward, the God of glory, my friend, looketh upon the heart. And when he looks upon your heart and mine, he sees a heart that is deceitfully wicked above all things. And my friend, no man can know, no man ought to trust, no man ought to put confidence in. Amen. We, my friend, are not holy in light because we're not holy in heart. Amen. But when God has seen Jesus, amen, he was indeed the Holy One of God, holy in light, blameless in conduct. My friend, when God looked upon the heart of his son, amen, his son indeed could plainly and accurately be declared to be the Holy One of God. Holy in life, holy in heart, blameless and perfect inside and out. Now this morning as we lay out and make our way in the text here in just a moment, this title and this declaration or this name is one that is often used for God in the Bible. Amen. There's an argument going on among religious folk and even among the world in this hour as to whether or not Jesus is God in the flesh. Well, I think this title and this statement that is made by the unclean spirit that is in this certain man, that my friend, when this spirit declares, I know thee who thou art, he says, you are the Holy One of God. And we'll find there that Jesus, those spirits were declaring that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Job 6 and in verse number 10, Job spoke in the words of the Holy One. And that is in capitalized. Amen. The Holy One. You'll find it interesting throughout the Old Testament. And God is referenced as the Holy One, or the Holy One of Israel. And you'll find it particularly in the prophets where that statement is made. Isaiah, interestingly enough, the one who had write and prophesy more than any other of the Lord Jesus Christ in his coming to this earth, in his condescension, in his humanity, would use this and be fond of this name, in using it no less than 29 times in the book of Isaiah. No way I can go through all 29 of those, Brother Mike, this morning. Amen. But it is interesting, some things that are used in connection with this one that is called the Holy One. In Isaiah in chapter number 17 and in verse 7, and in chapter 45, verse 11, the Holy One is our Creator. Amen. He is our Maker. He's the one that made us. Amen. He is the Holy One. You'll find that it's used in reference to the fact that the Holy One is our Savior or our Redeemer. Amen. And Isaiah would emphasize this more than any other. Isaiah 41:14, Isaiah 43:3, and in verse number 14. Isaiah 47 and in verse number 14. Amen. He said, the Holy One is thy Redeemer. The Holy One, thy Savior, has said. Amen. He talked about bringing us out of bondage, out of darkness, out of sin, out of captivity. Amen. And all of that is in relation to only the Holy One can do that. Amen. You won't find that in your mama or in your daddy. You won't find that in a preacher on this earth. You won't find it in a church. It's not in dogmas and creeds and in opinions, but amen, redemption and salvation. Amen. Demands that the Holy One be the one that gives that. You'll find that the Holy One, as Isaiah would oftentimes write, he would say that the Holy One is our King. In verse saying Isaiah 43 and in verse number 15. Amen. You see, my friend, the Lord of the universe is the Holy One. A one who sits on the throne is the Holy One. A one that's in control and in charge of all things today, amen, is the Holy One. And so this morning, as we consider the Holy One, amen, the Holy One of God, the declaration of this unclean spirit is accurate. Amen. Many times the unclean spirits, amen, being followers of the devil, the devil's a liar, a father of lies, and a liar from the very beginning. Amen. But my friend, whenever spirits began to have to speak about the Lord, they can't help but tell the truth. Amen. When they're talking about the one who is Creator, who is Savior, and who is King, they cannot help but declare accurately and concisely who He is. And so who is He? The Spirit said, I know who thou art. I know thee who thou art. Thou art the Holy One of God. Amen. He is the Holy One of God. Amen. And I believe this morning all of this event and all of the verses we read today is centered upon this very thought at Jesus in His earthly life. Amen. Jesus before His earthly life. And Jesus yet remains today. Amen. After His death, burial, resurrection, and ascension to the Father. Amen. We can say today He is the Holy One of God. And so this morning, that's our simple thought. Amen. That is what we want to center these verses around. And we're preaching today on the Holy One of God. Amen. Consider three things out of the text and I'll be done. Amen. Three things under the three things and then we'll be done. Amen. Number one in the text, consider with me the appointment of the Holy One of God. Amen. The appointment, it seems like, amen, the Lord is in this synagogue by divine appointment. In fact, we understand everywhere and everything the Lord Jesus did in His earthly life. My friend, He did it by divine appointment. He would say to His disciples in one point, I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. They didn't understand that, but He had a divine appointment to meet a Samaritan woman by Jacob's well. Amen. And so everything the Lord did was not in any way by accident, but by appointment. And so when the Bible said that He went to Capernaum and He entered into the synagogue and He taught them and this event took place, amen, it was by an appointment. Amen, the Holy One keeps His holy appointments. Amen, He'll not be found in the bar rooms, in the honky-tonks, in the dance floors. Amen, when He has an appointment to be in this service. Amen, this is where God wanted Him, and so He was there. Amen, in this appointment of the Holy One, I see a place, the place that was special. Amen, He went into Capernaum. And we're going to read about and preach about Capernaum throughout the gospel according to Mark. And the reason is Capernaum was a very special place in the heart and the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to do many of His miracles are going to be done in Capernaum. I went in His own town, Nazareth. He stood up in their synagogue and preached, and people got mad and thought to kill Him and run Him out of town. Amen. The very first place He thought to go was Capernaum. And Capernaum received Him. He stood in their synagogue and preached. And they gladly received Him there and listened to what He had to say. And so there was a special and unique place here in this appointment that the Lord Jesus, amen, is going to have this event take place. Amen. Capernaum, what a place and what a town. Amen. What things they would hear and see by Jesus. Our very own ministry. Amen. An appointment, a place that was special. I see the preaching. That was strong. For when He got there and walked in on the Sabbath day into their synagogue, the Bible said that He was there and He taught. Amen. He stood up and He declared the law of God. He stood up and began to declare what Moses really, amen, met, and what all was written in the Torah and all that was written in the days gone by. And my friend, wouldn't you like to have been there in that appointed day and that appointed service when the Lord Jesus stood and preached? Amen. In fact, the Bible said, amen, that they were astonished at His doctrine. Amen. They were blown away by the way in which He preached. In fact, it wasn't just what He preached. It, Mark says, my friend, was so astounding to them that day. Amen. Yes, His doctrine was amazing. Amen. But the Bible said He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Amen. You see, only the Holy One can stand up and preach in a holy way. Amen. You say, preacher, what was the power they felt when the Lord Jesus preached on that day? It was the power of being the Holy One. Amen. The one that had given the word and inspired it to be penned down is now declaring it. Amen. There's no sin in Him there. My friend, was a powerful demonstration in the way in which He preached that day. Amen. And the contrast that is set there, Brother Riley, is that the way and the authority by which He preached, it was not as the scribes. Amen. They said in the synagogues, the scribes would, amen, bring forth lessons that were dry and boring. They were void of emotion. They were void, my friend, of any kind of moving within the heart of a man. That they would simply get up, read out of the law of God, and then quote from previous rabbis and synagogue leaders as to what their opinions were about the text. Amen. But Jesus didn't quote one rabbi. And Jesus, my friend, never needed a quotation. Amen. He never had to, my friend, go to sources of illustration. Amen. To talk about it, He simply got up and, my friend, gave the reading of the law and then began to expound upon it, line upon line. Amen. Truth upon truth. And, my friend, that crowd had never heard anything, amen, from the law of God that seemed to be so real and seemed to be so personal and seemed to be so powerful within their life. Amen. May I say, His doctrine and the way in which He declared it moved that crowd. And only the Holy One of God can do that. Ain't you glad for the day? Ain't you really glad for the day when the Holy One showed up in your life? Amen. And you heard more than a preacher. Amen. You heard more than an outline. And thank God for outlines and sermons and the declaration and the reading of the Word of God. Amen. But I'll never forget the service I walked into. Amen. When it was more than Jason Kendrick preaching, and the Holy One began to bring authority of His Word. Amen. In my life, that was strong and moved me and opened my eyes to the reality of the truth of the gospel. Amen. Only the Holy One can do that. Amen. You can take the greatest man of God. Amen. That there may be the greatest preacher that has ever been. My friend, until the Holy One shows up and applies that truth, there'll be no power and there'll be no authority on it. Amen. Only the Holy One of God can do that. I hope that makes sense. Amen. Consider with me the provocation that was stirred. Amen. For in this appointment, as he enters this place that is special, as he gives the preaching that was strong. Amen. The Bible said in verse 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried, a man with an unclean spirit. Amen. That is, there was a man in this service, in this dedicated place to worship, in this dedicated place, amen, to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Amen. There was one in the crowd, at least one, amen, that was full of the devil. A man with an unclean spirit. And this unclean spirit was provoked, amen, to being stirred when Jesus entered in the synagogue. And he began to preach this doctrine. And he began to preach with authority. And he began to lay forth the challenge of the Word of God. And to call upon men to repent of their sin. And called on men to believe the gospel. And he called on them to let God and the Holy Ghost change their life. All of a sudden the unclean spirit cries out. Amen, may I say. Amen, the devil does not give up his ground easily. Amen, in fact, when this spirit begins to speak. Amen, did you catch the plurality in which he spake yet? Now the Bible said, Brother Mike, this was a man with an unclean spirit. One man with one unclean spirit. When the Spirit spake, he said, let us alone. Amen. What have we to do with thee? Art thou come to destroy us? And so there is a, amen, there's a single unclean spirit, amen, but the indication to me seems to be, amen, that there are other unclean spirits maybe in that synagogue, amen, but at least according down later on in Mark chapter number 1 and verse 39, and the Bible said, and he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And so my friend, the hope, amen, the spiritual underworld, the evil, unclean spirits had a hold upon the religious system of the synagogue. And my friend, when Jesus showed up and the power of the Holy One began to be manifest and the Word of God was finally not given in drab sermons and wasn't given, my friend, in watered down versions of opinions of men, my friend, was delivered in the power of Almighty God. All of a sudden, the devil got stirred up, and my friend began to work and cry out and try to stop people from getting the help they needed. And I say today, amen, can I say today, I understand we're living in a world full of unclean spirits. Amen, but may I say it's not just yet. Amen, the houses of ill repute, it's not. Amen, just in the dope houses, it, my friend, is not just. Amen, in the White House, in the House of Congress. Amen, even in houses of God throughout the land. Amen, there are unclean spirits that, my friend, had people bound to sin and enslaved. Amen, to this world that, amen, don't want people hearing the gospel, that, amen, don't want people being set free yet. And my friend, do all they can when truth is given, amen, to try to silence the truth of the Word of God. The provocation and this appointment, amen, there is a provocation. Amen, and make no bones about it, the Lord had already overcome the devil. Amen, he had already overcome their leader, this unclean spirit. Amen, it'd be nothing for the Lord Jesus to deal with. And so I see the appointment of the Holy One. Notice with me the acknowledgement of the Holy One in our text verse and in verse number 14. As this unclean spirit speaks out of this man and cries out, it says, and let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And so I see here that there is an acknowledgement of the Holy One. Amen. This unclean spirit, but Jeremy absolutely knew who Jesus was. Amen. There was no doubt about it. And the knowledge that this unclean spirit had. Amen. In fact, later on in days to come in the ministry, amen, of the early church in the book of Acts, we read about the seven sons of Sceva. And they thought that they would deal with a spirit. And they tried to confront a spirit and cast a spirit out of a man. And that spirit said, amen, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Amen. And so the spirit world is very acquainted with Jesus. They know who Jesus is. They know His authority. Amen. They know His name. They know His nature. Amen. And in this text we find, amen, there is the acknowledgement of the Holy One. Amen. Now buckle your seatbelt for just a moment. In this acknowledgement, there's three things I want to draw your attention to. Amen. Number one, consider in the acknowledgement the contrast. Amen. There is a contrast when they acknowledge Jesus. Amen. The Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Holy One of God. Amen. They are acknowledging a contrast. You say, how do you know that? I listen to what they said. They said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? In other words, they are saying, we are unclean and you are holy. That you are the light and we are the darkness. And we are of a sinful being. We are of a wicked nature. And you are of a holy nature. And boy, I tell you, when I seen this and began to study this, amen, when we say that Jesus is the Holy One of God, all we are saying is that He is contrasted, amen, not only with the underworld, but He is, my friend, contrasted with everything that is unclean. We live in a world that is trying to blend Jesus and a world into one. We're living in a time of religion where it would appear that and preachers and church folk, my friend, think that, amen, Jesus has a whole lot to do with their worldly ambitions and their carnal desires and their sinful lifestyles. And they try to attach Jesus to, amen, certain sins that they're involved in. Amen. But may I say this unclean spirit, amen, He had it absolutely right. And my friend, there is a drastic contrast, amen, always between Jesus and what He is and who He is and what He promotes and what He gives, amen, versus what the devil and hell in this world had to offer. I know that ain't popular in this day, and I wish you felt well enough to really cut loose and preach. Amen. But you're kidding yourself if you think Jesus, amen, has something to do with your sin. Amen. We're living in days where, amen, this world in all its ungodliness, amen, has the audacity in their sodomy and their perversion of lifestyle to stand and boldly declare that God made me this way. Amen. What they're saying is God has something to do with this. Amen. But even the unclean spirits know, amen, you cannot mix Jesus and what Jesus does, amen, with who we are and what we do. Amen. I know it ain't popular. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, we've got a crowd that, amen, I'm talking about in our Baptist churches, amen, in our God-fearing churches, amen, there is a certain element, amen, that thinks they can be religious on Sunday and claim the name of Jesus, my friend, in times of worship, and then, my friend, spend Monday living their life in your ungodly way they see fit. Let me ask you, what does Jesus have to do with the way you lived this last week?
Amen.
Come on now. I know. I'm missing these visitors in the building. I just got to be me. Amen. What is it about what you watch this week that Jesus has to do with?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What is it that you involved yourself? What, amen, what identification marks have been in your life this week? Amen, friend, the Holy One of God, amen, would have to say, I have nothing to do with that. Amen, you see, he has been made a high priest and everybody shouts and jumps up and down. Amen, the book of Hebrews said we have and high priest, and thank God we do. It is a high priest in things pertaining unto God.
Amen.
Amen. We got churches that are involved in everything but promoting the Holy One of God.
Amen.
I know I'm preaching now. If I had a voice, if I felt real good, I'd just be screaming and jumping pews. We got churches that in their advertising, and I'm not against advertising ministry, But when you're about ball and teams and garage sales and drama teams and all these things that are promoted, I wonder, amen, if Jesus has anything to do with that.
Amen.
It's all fluff. It's all external. It's all, my friend, a form of religion. It really is a social standing, a social gathering. Amen. Where they slap a steeple on top of the building. Amen. Put a church name up on a sign. But my friend, this unclean spirit realized, amen, that there is a drastic contrast in what dead, dry, formalistic religion has to offer and what Jesus is. The contrast in the acknowledgement. I pray that makes sense today. Amen. The contrast. Oh, amen. Oh, that we would understand. Amen. What have we to do with it? Amen. What do you have to do with Jesus today?
Amen.
Have there been any changes in your life?
Amen.
Amen. What do you have to do with Jesus? What do you have in common with Him? Come on now. What identifying marks in your life line up with the Holy One of God?
Amen.
Amen. But, amen. I might as well just go all the way in the deep end. We got a generation, man, amen, that is drowning in sin and is still claiming the name of Jesus and talk like they're going to heaven when they die. These unclean spirits said, I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. What do we have to do with thee?
Yes, sir.
There's nothing about us that has any commonality with you.
Amen.
Amen. At least the devil's admitted it.
Right.
We got folks sitting in churches won't even admit it. Amen. We've watered the gospel and the word of God down so much that, my friend, you can swap wives, you can run after everything in this world and still claim to be a Christian. Amen. Boy, y'all shouting so loud I can't even hear myself think this morning. The silence is deafening. See, I don't believe none of that. That's exactly what the unclean spirits are saying and trying to promote and are giving to you and I. We understand you are the Holy One of God and we are unclean. What have we to do with thee? Amen. Can I say it's a good day in my life? Amen. When in sin and being lost, I realized I had nothing in common with Christ. Amen. I had nothing to do with Him. But thank God He came to set me free. He came to where I was. He came to bring me into His family. He came to change all of that. Amen. And I'm not everything I ought to be. I'm not surely the Holy One as He is. Amen. But He made a difference in my life. He made a change in my direction. And now there's some things in my life that have to do with Him.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. That's right. Amen. The contrast. Notice the concern. Amen. I got to hurry. The concern. Amen. He said, this unclean spirit said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Art thou come to destroy us? Art thou come to destroy us? Their concern, and you'll find this every time the Lord meets a devil in his earthly life, they have this concern, have you come to destroy us? In fact, in Gadara, when he meets who we call the maniac of Gadara, amen, when Legion speaks, the Legion says, have you come? Amen. Have you come to destroy us before our time? In other words, the devil and the unclean spirits, they know their days are limited. They know there's an appointed time when they're going to be delivered to torment. They're going to be delivered to a place called hell. And that, my friend, they, amen, have a concern about that day. And my point here is this. Amen, they were concerned about it, and in their concern about their own destruction, what they are acknowledging is that they knew Jesus and holiness will ultimately win in the end. Jesus and everybody He saves, everybody whose life has been changed, everybody whose heart and life has been washed in His blood. Amen. Even the unclean spirit said, we know the Holy One, and everybody on His side wins. Uncleanness and wickedness and dead religion and fake and phonyism and mixing religion and the Bible with the world and with sin and our own carnal appetites. That may look good now, but in the end, it's Jesus in holiness that wins.
Yes, sir.
May I say to this world, may I say to sinners today, you ought to be concerned with how this thing's going to end for you. You may think you're getting by. You may hide things from your folks. You may hide things from your friends. You may live a life of secret that the church knows nothing about. Amen. And it may look like you're winning in your sin. In your uncleanness, it may look like, amen, you've got a hold of everything going on in your life. Amen, but there is an appointed time. There is an appointed day. Amen, I'm glad I acknowledged that one day. I'm glad Jesus met me where I was. Amen, turned the light on, showed the contrast, and led me to acknowledge, amen, I was going to be destroyed. I was going to go to hell, and I deserved everything that was coming my way.
Right. Amen.
All of a sudden, I got real concerned, Riley, about that day. I got real concerned because I knew the contrast. I knew what I was, and that there was a real hell and a real place of damnation and destruction that awaited me. Amen. Can I say today, there's this super hyper, amen, hyper, I don't know, hyper, amen, whatever you want to call them, crowd said, well, now people ought not get saved because they're afraid to go to hell. Bless God, I was afraid to go to hell. I was scared out of my mind. I was concerned about my eternal destination. I understand. I think I know what some mean. Hey man, you ultimately got to know that you're a sinner. Christ didn't just come to save us from the wrath that was to come and from hellfire. He came to save us from our sin. Hey man, but when I realized I was a sinner and I realized the wages of sin was death and that there was a real literal hell waiting on me, hey man, I'm telling you, there was an acknowledgement in my life, hey man, of a concern that I had about being destroyed by Jesus. You say, well, amen, Jesus is love. He wouldn't do that. Amen, Jesus is love, but Jesus is the Holy One.
Amen,
He is the Holy One, and He will, amen, have sinners thrown into hell and only in the lake of fire. And if that don't bother you, amen, something's wrong in your heart. Amen, sinners must acknowledge a concern about what awaits them.
Amen.
Then let me say, amen, in this I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Amen. May I say there's not only the contrast and there is the, amen, there is the contrast and there is this matter, amen, of this confession we want to deal with this morning, the concern and the confession. Amen. The Bible said, Thou Jesus of Nazareth. In other words, they are confessing, we know that you are the one Jehovah has sent to save.
Amen.
And I say that that is who the Holy One is. Amen. And only the Holy One could be this one that is the Savior. Amen. Only a holy Savior can bring unholy men. Amen. Out of the chains of sin, only the Holy One, amen, could offer a holy price. Only the Holy One, my friend, could give a Holy Ghost in conviction to draw men out of their sin. Amen. And only the Holy One can lead sinners, amen, to make an acknowledgement and a confession in that acknowledgement that Jesus is the only way. You'll not go to heaven. You'll not be saved because of who your folks are. You'll not be saved because you've been baptized. You'll not be saved today because you joined the church. Amen. And listen to me. You'll not be saved today. Amen. Because you reformed your life a little bit somewhere along the way and began to carry a Bible and come to church. Oh no, there must be a confession. And I am unclean. I have nothing to do with him. I deserve hell. And the only way that that can be remedied is to confess that Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is the Savior.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
The acknowledgement of the Holy One, the appointment of the Holy One. Let me end quickly. The amazement with the Holy One, or for the Holy One. The Bible said, in the end of this, the result is, they were all amazed. Stupefied with wonder. Can I put it where we'd understand it? But Joe, that means their minds were blown. With the event that takes place, from beginning to end, how Christ deals with this man bound by an unclean spirit. The resulting release and freedom this man is given by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ amazes them. May I say there's nothing more amazing in all the world. I don't care what you see. I don't care what you hear, what you experience. There is nothing more amazing, even in the hour in which we live. Nothing that causes greater wonder. Amen. Nothing that, my friend, blows our mind any more than how, amen, a sinner man can be enslaved to sin, enslaved to unclean spirits, unable to stop his sin, and unable, my friend, to change himself. My friend, too, amen, acknowledge a contrast and a concern and a confession. How that the Lord Jesus Christ in a moment of time can take that man, that woman, that boy, that girl in from one direction and turn their life around and make them a brand new creature.
Amen.
Nothing more amazing in all the world than that. And so that brings us in this amazement of Christ. Miraculous power, Christ's miraculous power. Amen. I love what Jesus did. The Bible said, amen, though the unclean spirit is speaking truth, amen, though the unclean spirit has made an accurate acknowledgement, the Bible said, and Jesus rebuked him. Ain't that amazing? He's just said everything that is right. And Jesus rebuked him and said, hold thy peace, and nobody will have any problem understanding what that means. Jesus told the unclean spirit, shut your mouth. But preacher, he was saying the right things. Yeah, but Jesus is not just interested in the acknowledgement. Jesus is interested in a changed life. Jesus is interested in the man in whom the unclean spirit is.
Amen.
And so Jesus says, the time has come. Hey man, you have bound this man for too long. You have deceived him in religion too long. You have said too much already. Amen. It is the Word of God. It is the power, the preaching of repentance and belief in the gospel that has been brought to this man. Hold that peace. Come out of him. The Bible said that it was just in the immediate time that my friend, the unclean spirit, had torn him. That just simply means my friend, on his way out, he calls that man to convulse. He calls that man to tremble. He calls that man, and really it's a picture, not that it was hard for Jesus to have that spirit removed and that man's life changed, but that spirit did not want to easily give up the ground he had taken. He did not want to release his grip on that soul. The devil don't like releasing his grip on the souls of men and women and boys and girls. But you hear me, there's only one. When baptism won't do it, amen, you can't drown them unclean spirits in baptismal waters. Amen, you can't choke them on a wafer and a little cup of grape juice. Are y'all listening today? Amen. When all else has failed, amen, there is one in glory today. There is a Savior. There he is. Amen. The Holy One of God who in His holiness holds all power. He is lofty. He is mighty. He is strong and He is able. A miraculous power to command the devils, and the devils would do exactly what He commands them to do. He commanded him, hold thy peace and come out of him. And the Bible said, he came out of him. In fact, when you read Luke's account, in spite of the convulsions, and by the way, just because somebody has seizures and convulsions, that don't mean they've got an unclean spirit. Amen. Some people have trauma and accidents they've been through that have created damages that bring with it that sort of life. Amen. Nor can you say, amen, that medical explanations are always the reason for convulsions and seizures. All right? And so I'll just throw that out there.
That's right.
Jesus commanded, and the spirit begins to come out. The Bible said it tore him. But you read, that sounds violent. That sounds like, man, that's really hurting that man. But if you look in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 4, verse 31 through 37, the Bible said when this was done, that man had no hurt.
Yes, sir.
You see what Jesus does? Some people say, if I get saved, it's going to hurt me. Amen. If you get saved, Jesus won't hurt you.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus won't hurt you.
Right.
Amen. Religion will hurt you. Amen. Trying to turn a new leaf will hurt you. Amen. But the real life-changing, miraculous power, the gospel and of Christ, amen, it will leave you hurtless. Amen, it'll leave you with a brand new lease on life. The chains will fall off and the devil will move out, and a cleanness and a holiness and a righteousness will be felt in your life.
Amen.
I'm glad when I got saved, Jesus didn't hurt me. He helped me.
Amen.
I feel like running right now. The longer I preach, the better I feel. Amen. When I got saved, it didn't hurt me. Amen. I found the help that I needed. I found the help I'd been looking for when I allowed Jesus to deal with that unclean spirit. They were amazed at Christ's miraculous power, and so that they said to themselves, He commandeth even the unclean spirits, and they do obey Him.
Amen.
You don't need another program. I ain't against programs. Thank God for every Bible Center program there is. My friend, people trying to cure what they've got going on the inside with programs, only Jesus can do it.
Amen.
It's a miraculous power that amazed them. Notice Christ, what we'll call this morning, Christ's marvelous preaching. They come back and they say they were all amazing so much they question among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, They come back, and here's what they do. Here's what they do, Brother Charlie. They connect the doctrine he had been preaching and the power he preached it with to what had just been done in this man's life. You know what changes lives today? It's preaching. I've always been amazed. I'm amazed. I'll use myself. I've got to quit. I've preached too long. That's going to be done 5 minutes ago, but that didn't happen. I was hard-hearted, buddy. I was hard-hearted before I got saved. 17 years old. Grew up in church, deceived in religion, deceived in all the formality and the outward and the externals of things. I'd have been, if you'd have watched my life from the outside, from just a little bit of a distance away, you'd say, that's a pretty good little boy there. Buddy, on the inside was a heart full of the devil. On the inside was a heart filled with rebellion. On the inside was a heart that was absolutely gone astray and disinterested in God and a changed life and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, preacher.
Jesus, through the preaching of the Word of God, I had heard so many messages, my heart had become callous to it. Now, I can't explain, Brother Mike, I cannot explain what happened that night. I walked in the First Baptist Church of Garden City, Michigan. They took us down in the basement and had in that basement a little area set up where they was going to do a youth revival that night. And Brother Jason Kendrick got up and began to preach. I cannot tell you how it all happened. Down in that basement, the Holy One of God began to ring my bell, began to break my heart. The longer that man began to preach and the more he began to settle in with the touch of the Holy One of God upon his life, it began to break my heart and shine the light and show me what I was and who I needed. Amen.
Amen.
Said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, thank God for how preaching works in people's lives.
Amen.
So I'm uninterested today. I don't need this. I don't like this. I don't want this. But what you don't understand, God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that are lost.
Amen.
When the Holy One of God opens your eyes and makes you see it, and opens your ears and lets you hear it for the first time, you'll have a choice to make. Do I want anything to do with Him? Do I want anything to do with what He has to offer? And they are amazed at His marvelous preaching. They said, we've not heard anything like this before that could do what He's just done. That's why our doctrine ought to be right. That's why it matters what is preached. Amen. And then notice with me Christ's monumental popularity, verse 28, immediately His fame spread abroad throughout all the region. Round about Galilee. Everybody's learning about Jesus of Nazareth. Word begins to spread about that one single service in the synagogue of Capernaum. About the Holy One of God, the Holy One of God, the Holy One of God. You won't believe what He's preaching. You won't believe what He can do for people. But Jack, his fame began to spread throughout all the region in so much. Before we get to the end of the chapter, they're going to come all the way out of Syria to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the Holy One of God, because they know He's the only help they have to have fixed what is wrong in their life. May I say today, I wish He was as popular today as He was in Mark 1:28. I wish folk all over Cock County could hear it. Amen. They've heard it. Many of them's heard it again and again and again and have heard it so much that now it's just old news to them. But it's still right. No matter how popular or unpopular Jesus is today, He's still the only hope you have. He's the Holy One of God. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever come? Amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him set you free. I'm not talking about making a prayer. I'm not talking about saying a profession. I'm not talking about having an experience. I'm talking about, can you really say today that the lights have come on, you see the contrast, that in your sinful state, you and Jesus have nothing in common? Do you realize the concern? Have you ever acknowledged the concern about what awaits you in that sinful state? Have you ever been willing to bow down, amen, your heart and confess Him? He is Jesus. He is Savior. He is Lord. And without Him, I have no other way. Today would be a wonderful day to do that.